This is a HeadGum Podcast.
I have nothing to say about this song. I have no idea how this is going
to
go.
Nothing? I have so much to say.
Amazing, because I have literally nothing.
I have a lot to say about exactly one line, and then it's just like that's going to carry on through the rest of the song. We'll get to it. We'll get to it.
This is you.
It is me.
This is you. This is you doing you.
It's time for Punch the Jam.
Punch
the Jam.
Hey.
Punch the Jam.
Punch
the Jam.
What the fuck is up?
I've never realized how much it just sounds like a calypso, like a cruise ship jam.
You don't realize what you've done? The hell you've created?
I don't realize what I've done most of the times. I black out as soon as I do anything.
That sounds like a disease and you should get that checked out. Welcome to Punch the Jam! What a treat. What a delight. What a special, special day. I'm so happy you're here. I picked a song just for you. Do you want me to give you a proper introduction?
Sure.
I will be amazed if I don't fuck this up.
You got this.
You know him as a former co-host of this podcast and as a writer on the Amber Ruffin Show. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Demi.
Demi.
I do do we be hey. Fucking
Demi.
I do do we be hey. I said. I'm gonna get excited. How did you we be? Hi, it's really hard actually.
Did you we bay?
You need an extra syllable, but when you throw the hey on there, it fucks up pronouncing your name every time.
I'm gonna talk to my parents. We should change
this. We bay hey. Thanks for coming back.
Why are you adding the hey on? Oh, thank you for having me back.
I'm so happy you're here. This has been a dream since, what day did you leave last year?
What day? Was it a
September
Tuesday?
16th, 2019.
Ah, there it is.
Hey, what's up? What if we just pretend like we never talked? Hey, what's up? So you chose Beverly Hills by Weezer, I guess, huh?
Yeah. First of all, I just want to say I've listened to the pod before. I really dig it.
I love Punch Up the Jern.
I'm a real big fan of Pump Up the Jams. The amount of times people...
How many times?
So many times. And every time I was just like, all right, you don't have to pretend. Okay.
The best one was PodCon, absolutely, because that was like a ballroom setup where we had to run down an aisle of people to someone going, ladies and gentlemen, pump up the jam.
And you could hear, I think you can hear in the recording, there's a few people in the audience who caught it and were like, oh no.
It was the best of times. It was the best of times.
That's right. I miss you.
This is sad.
I miss you too.
I feel like this whole episode needs to be like graduation themed.
And we chose the opposite vibe entirely with Beverly Hills.
I know. When I post it on the Patreon, I do a thing on the Patreon now where I like give a sneak peek and people can comment. And I'll read my favorite comment. And everyone was like, oh my God, I can't believe you would do this without Demi. And it's like, little do you know, I would
you
never.
Fools. You insolent idiots. Everyone on the Patreon's a dummy.
I'm really tempted to not talk about this song at all for this whole episode in keeping with your Rickrolling nature of this tune. However,
so you do the opposite and you're just like, you'll never hear it. Oh, wow. You still are edging them.
I didn't say it. I've been trying to divorce myself from the edging brand ever since it became mainstream. I'm no longer interested.
I get that. What have you moved on to?
I'm telling you, edging has jumped the shark. It's no longer interesting. We need to find the new little sex kink that's so funny.
It feels like the world came with edging and everyone's just like, that's the new shit. And you're like, oh, well, then what's the point?
I think coming's the new edging.
Whoa. Get that on a t-shirt. I think the last episode is when you start to sell t-shirts. Coming's the new edging.
Finally, we'll get merch for the very last episode. I do have a couple notes if you want them, but you can say no.
Yeah, no, hit me with the notes.
Okay, it's by Weezer.
Who?
Beverly Hills. And that, of course, is frontman Rivers Cuomo. And I did check right before taping. Apparently not related to Andrew Cuomo.
Really?
Or River Phoenix.
That's the part that's surprising. Because there's only two of them. And you'd think they'd have to get it from each other.
I know. It's like an STD, first names, right?
Yeah, that's what they say.
I think I have corona, but I'm asymptomatic except for my brain isn't working anymore.
Anymore? When that started?
That's right, folks. He's back with a sick burn. I don't have a soundboard, so I'm just gonna do this.
You can't punch this.
Okay.
It was produced by Rick Rubin. Don't mind me.
Every time anyone says Rick Rubin, I start to think Rick Ross. And then I'm like, wait, no. So I always have this reaction to Rick Rubin, like, what? Why'd he do this?
I have the opposite reaction in that the opposite of Rick Ross, of course, is a Reuben sandwich. And I go, a sandwich?
That's so true.
A sauerkraut Russian dressing produces, huh?
Have you ever seen a photo of Rick Rubin? He does look like a sauerkraut Russian dressing.
I actually agree with you. And I have thought that. And actually, if you do look at my dream journal, it's in there.
Oh.
Do you want to know? I honestly don't want to read this. Do you want to know what Rivers Cuomo said about how he wrote this song?
I never like hearing any sidebar, but I don't like Weezer and I don't like Rivers Cuomo. And I feel bad because some of my loveliest friends do love that band, and no shade to them. But every time,
but are your loveliest friends all Gen Xers who like wear glasses or maybe like Weezer?
Yes, they are. And they all talk about how they were in ska bands in high school. And I'm just trying to get a hot dog, man.
There's going to be one for every generation. Like, everyone's like, oh, Elvis Costello. Oh, Woody Allen. Oh, Rivers Cuomo. It's like, you just like glasses. Like, get
what's
over.
Ours going to be?
Do we have one yet? Harry Potter?
Who's got glasses? We jumped off music entirely. We're just like, kids nowadays don't know about Harry Potter. Don't know nothing about no Quidditch. And their kids just like, okay, just let me listen to 100 Gex or whatever. I don't know what kids like now.
I don't either. And I've been looking at TikTok and I'm like, I think I've aged out of content.
I'm scared of it. I like when people send me TikToks, but I'm always just sort of like, I don't need to spend time here.
I downloaded it and I looked at it for maybe 30 minutes. And then I was like, not for me. Can't figure this out. Don't have the energy to try to figure it out. No new things, 2020. No new things.
I agree. No new things. It feels like that part of the Shawshank Redemption where he gets out of jail and he's just sort of like, oh, they got cars everywhere.
That's how I feel every day I go outside.
Yeah.
So I also dislike Weezer strongly. And I also find Rivers Cuomo to be absolutely insufferable. Even things I kind of do like of theirs, I can't like. I want to, but I can't.
Sure.
So that's part of why I was so delighted by the two quotes I pulled from him.
Ooh, great.
If you like Weezer, you're not going to like this episode, probably.
If you
probably.
Like Weezer Coladas,
then you should skip the next one. I was at the opening of the new Hollywood Bowl, and I flipped through the program, and I saw a picture of Wilson Phillips. And for some reason, I just thought, how nice would it be to marry, like, an established celebrity and live in Beverly Hills and be a part of that world? And it was a totally sincere desire. And I wrote that song, Beverly Hills. For some reason, by the time it came out and the video came out, it got twisted around into something that seemed sarcastic, but originally it wasn't meant to be sarcastic at all.
Oh, no.
I feel like he could have just let that sleeping dog lie, and we all would have been like, it was ironic. He was being funny.
Yeah, you slipped into a win. You were like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I was meaning to lose.
And it went on to be their most commercially successful song, which is gotta hurt, considering all of their previous music is like the cult-followed music.
Yeah.
And then he went one step further with this next quote. He has said that Beverly Hills and its solo third verse, and then also randomly the last chorus of Falling For You from Pinkerton, I don't know why that's included in this quote, are his proudest musical achievements. The quote that follows. It's incredibly fun. A great beat. This is him talking about him. A great beat, guitar riffs, catchy vocal style. Besides that, I think the lyrics are incredible in a very understated way. I might as well enjoy my life and watch the stars play. I love it. With this one song, we were able to transcend our little niche and connect with all kinds of people, young and old, from all kinds of backgrounds.
Oh, it's so funny to imagine these quotes and then see a photo of Rivers Cuomo, because you're just like, whoa, that's not what I feel like that's the kind of thing you hear from like a Vegas showman who's just sort of like, I love it. The kids come in and they hear my songs and they just love to jump around. Ah, I love it. It's just like, everyone who likes you thought you were a lot cooler than that.
You shouldn't have said it. Why did you say it? Why did you go on to compliment how your lyrics are so understated when the first verse of this song, not to get ahead, my automobile is a piece of crap. My fashion sense is a little whack.
That's the line.
My friends are just as screwy as me. Preppy girls never looked at me. He's like, the lyrics are brilliant. He's talking about himself.
This is sad. This is, again, we'll get to these lines, but like, this song makes me sad, not for myself, but for him, in a way where I'm just like,
I'm gonna say he's laughing all the way to the bank. I don't feel sorry for him. I just can't believe the con they managed to pull off of making themselves known as this like underdog nerdcore like punk kind of vibe, and then they're like, psych, fuck all of you, Beverly Hills.
It's so great too, because I feel like, you remember when the Red Album came out and it felt like everyone was just sort of like, whoa, what is this? This is not our Weezer.
The Red Album? Sorry, I only know the White Album. Bless. Sorry, what were you going to say?
I don't remember what I was going to say now. No, remember, because I remember when that album came out and it was just like, everyone's like, oh man, this one's a miss. Sorry, Weezer. I guess like you got your first miss in ages, but you're going to pull back. And then I feel like the rest of their output has just been stuff like that, and they were like, everyone's just like, wait, what's going on? What's Weezer doing?
No, Weezer now is like, well, I guess we're gonna throw away our legacy because we would like a lot of money, please.
And power to them. I hope they're happy.
If you ever had the opportunity to make a cover of Toto by Africa, wait, what? And get Finn Wolfhard to star in your music video, effectively playing you, and then also it's ripping off Take On Me, I would take that opportunity too.
I forgot about the covers album. That was I was going to say a dark period, but as we've established, it's kind of just gone down. The thing about that Red Album though, I remember it dropping and me just being like, this does suck, but I do feel like I enjoy some of these songs only by Stockholm Syndrome. So I was like, I can't.
Where were you that you had to be listening to these songs?
I was in high school. I had to like everything everyone else also liked. And for some reason, everyone was like, Pork and Beans, that's a good song. And I was here we go. Pork and Beans.
Oh, that's so tough. So wait, you were
I wasn't in high school. I probably was in middle school, actually. When did Beverly Hills come out?
2005.
Okay, yeah, I was in middle school. Because it was also like when viral videos were just becoming a thing, and it was like they had that one Troublemaker video where they were like, we're going to break a bunch of Guinness World Records, and then you'll see your favorite internet memes. And it was just like, now I'm like, that's embarrassing.
Are you ready for the first clip of this fucking song?
Let's go.
Okay.
I forgot that's how it starts.
That is an iMovie cue.
It is. That's a... Alright, welcome to my first slideshow. Where I come from isn't all that great. My automobile is a piece of crap.
Okay. Okay. First and foremost, obviously that is exactly an iMovie sound cue. I have used it. And then you always use the cheer of the kids afterwards. Like, yay!
That's exactly what it is.
And then immediately into the gunk, 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 dun, gunk. Dun. Like, is that We Will Rock You? Do we know?
It essentially is, but I feel like there's something about that sound that even though it's like overused and nothing, I do feel good when I hear it. I'm just sort of like, you got me for a little bit. Don't fuck this up. And then immediately does.
Oh, yeah. I mean, honestly, like that guitar groove, as basic and generic as it may be, it's effective. I'm in. Like, I will take a little sip of that Corona. Like, it's okay. I should have picked a different beer, but you know what I mean? A very familiar beer.
Sure.
But then when he has to come in, this man, by the way, I looked it up. I believe, if I'm correct, when he wrote this song, he was 34 years old.
Oh, riffers.
For him to refer to his car as an automobile. Okay, I see what you're doing. You're gonna be an old-timey man from the 1920s. And then immediately follows it with a piece of crap, which I have not heard referred to as a saying since maybe 1998.
No, the word crap always feels like, I'm just immediately like, oh, I don't know what's going on, but I don't take this seriously anymore. Like, if you were like really pissed at me or just like, I'm sick of you, you always treat me like crap, I'd be like, crap? What are you trying to make this a Nickelodeon movie? Don't just say shit.
A piece of crap is something that probably was my most uttered phrase as like a 12-year-old girl in like the year 2000. It was like, and if you were feeling like crap was a little too edgy, maybe you'd say crud.
Yeah,
but crud. For a 34-year-old man in the year of our Lord 2004, 2005, to be earnestly writing into a song that, as he clarified, was originally meant from a sincere place, to call his car an automobile and then to call it a piece of crap.
How many drafts do you think he went through on that?
My gut says one. My head says that was 15.
Yeah.
That he was like overwriting and he came back to it.
Someone was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. My car is a piece of dirt. No, 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 no. Rivers.
A piece of shit, right?
No, that's you got to go for the kids, Rivers.
No, because I listened to the Kids Bop version and they said junk.
Oh, they can't even say crap.
This is still too edgy.
Got it.
No. So this is for no one. This is exactly for a tween who's a little bit afraid to swear. This is me flipping off my Nana, but using my ring finger because I'm too afraid, but I still want to seem badass.
Yeah, you want plausible deniability. Like, what? I was just trying to show you my ring size.
Also, if you're still struggling with like your hometown issues at 34.
Also, where did he come from? Because he seems like a California kid.
He is born in Manhattan, which.
No.
Yes. I'm guessing that's not. Again, why is he not related to Andrew Cuomo? Or maybe he is, and it's a great cover-up. Listen, I want everyone on this. We need to have eyes on this issue. Chris Andrew Cuomo.
Some of y'all got to be InfoWars. Get this the dirt.
But I think he grew up in like an ashram in Connecticut.
Connecticut still feels like, okay, there's wealth there.
I mean, there is. There's definitely bad areas of Connecticut. But I'm going to guess to have thick-rimmed glasses as a child is probably... How expensive is that? $20? Come on. Costco, you've seen them. Yeah. The thick rimmers, they charge extra for that kind of expense.
Thick rimming, by the way, is to me the new edging.
Can you use it in a sentence?
I'd like to not.
I'm sorry, I'm getting a word from... Oh, yeah, Marissa's telling me the sponsor's requiring that you use it in a sentence.
Ooh. Got it. Okay. Oh, man. There's nothing better for my eyes than some thick rimmers. And, you know, when I'm staring out the window for ages on end, as I do in a pandemic, I like to use, what is it, Warby Parker's thick rimmers? Just always gets my eyes back to normal. And you can use the code THICKRIM.
There's nothing better to see what I'm in for when I'm down for some thick rimming than some thick rims.
And now remember, you gotta prep yourself if you're gonna use the thick rimmers.
I suggest some wipes, maybe some
That's right.
Charlie's butt wipes. Then he goes on. I don't know how you can top that. I think that should be the end of the song. My automobile's a piece of crap.
I was like, if I had more time, I'd bring my own punch up, which would have just been every other line replaced with piece of crap. Like, my automobile is a piece of crap. My fashion sense is a piece of crap. And my friends are just as crap as me.
The whole song's just crap.
Crap.
Crap, 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 crap.
Crap, that's crap, where crap, I want to crap.
Crappy, crappy. Which, okay, quick other sidebar. Remember the was it? Who makes Hello Kitty? Sanrio.
Oh, yes.
They had a lesser known character that I was obsessed with because, of course, he was, say it with me, a frog. And his name, I believe, is Karapi.
I think
Karopi.
It is.
I was obsessed with him. And anytime my parents tried to like talk to him about me, wait, what?
Talk to him about you? Oh, they're conversing. She's like, we're worried about Miel.
Hey, Karapi, is our girl doing okay? Because she keeps calling you crappy.
My fashion sense is a little whack and my friends are just as screwy as me.
My friends are just as screwy as me. The adjective choices here, even though he's trying to sound peak mid-aughts, giving himself away is raised in the 90s. Screwy.
He sounds like a narc. He sounds like he's trying to relate to a bunch of kids just like, oh man, where I come from, place sucks. My automobile's crap. My fashion sense is, you know, it's whack, G. And my friends, they're just as screwy as me. Where's the weed at?
Also, like, what do you think he means when he says his friends are screwy? Like, you guys, when we drink Kool-Aid, we use a little bit less sugar than you're supposed to.
We do it for the taste. All his friends are listening to this like, what? Why would you?
One time in eighth grade, I did a line of pixie dust powder. Yeah, that's right.
That's
we're fucking whack.
My friends are screwier than me.
That's right. My fashion sense, let's just say, I still shop at Forever 21 and I'm 34. Pretty screwy if you ask me.
What, also, like the fashion sense is a little whack thing. It's like, that's not necessarily something that you change when you go to... Like, it's not like, oh, man, if I got to Beverly Hills, my fashion sense would suddenly just change. It's like, you can...
It doesn't even make sense. The second you acknowledge your fashion is whack, then is that a choice you're making?
Yeah.
I think if you actually have bad fashion, the key component there is you're not aware of it. Right.
He's like, I know that what I'm doing is not good, and it's simply because I don't live in Beverly Hills.
Okay. He goes on. I would like to remind, before we listen to the next clip, this man, 34 when he wrote this.
I didn't go to boarding schools. Preppy girls never looked at me. Why should they? I ain't nobody got nothing in my pocket.
I didn't go to boarding school. Preppy girls never looked at me. Why should they? I ain't nobody got nothing in my pocket.
I looked up his net worth. And, you know, Google says I'm worth $1 million, so don't trust Google. But Google estimates his worth at $35 million.
Ugh. So is he trying to posit this song as being written? It's like from the perspective of when I was a kid. Because that's a, I don't know.
I mean, again, he claims the original inspiration is like, what if you could just marry into Beverly Hills, like established celebrity? I think we got one or two things on our hands here. My guy has some serious failure to launch, which does feel quite plausible. Does feel really quite... If there's one celebrity that you're like, who do you think has failure to launch? I probably would first say Rivers Cuomo.
But can he have that and be a 35 millionaire? 34-year-old 35 millionaire?
Do you know how rich dumb people are?
Yeah.
You can be such an idiot and have such a fat wallet. It should be illegal. I think you should have to pass an IQ test to have money, personally.
What about the other way around, where the smartest people get the most dollars?
Okay. So I do hear that I just created like a very specific supervillain that has like,
this
I don't know.
Eugenics.
I think I'm preaching eugenics.
We should give people money according to their skull sizes.
It's like so alarming though to see someone that has so much money and still such bad taste. That's the one that really confuses me.
Well, sometimes it just feels like the rich people sort of bubble themselves around other rich people, and therefore there's no one to come out and be like, hey, the rest of the world is watching and y'all look crazy. It's like they just don't have anyone to tell them.
I know. I've been thinking about this a lot. Like if just one person in either like Dave Chappelle or like Bill Maher's life was just like, hey, just so you know, you aren't shit. I think they'd be much better off for it.
I think they'd just be like, it's weird that this one person... I think that's when, like, they start being like, whoa, cancel culture's crazy. Three people on the internet just said I'm awful. What the hell? Like, you guys are... And then they make an entire special out of it and just get richer. And it's like, no, you're not being yelled at.
I don't think that's fair, personally. I think we should be giving money to people in need, but mostly animals.
She's running.
I'd like to see what a mallard would do with $1 million.
I don't know. Well, that's just Scrooge McDuck.
Well,
oh.
Do you like it?
Yeah. I think it's a terrible... The thing is, I don't like it, but it makes me feel good. It's that sort of thing where it's like, I don't know, I feel like that one gif of Jay-Z where he's just like bobbing his head, but he looks worried. Like, it's infectious within me where I'm just sort of like, I enjoy the feeling this song is giving me. And maybe that's just because I've used it as a joke so many times I can only think of it as funny. But like, I also am just sort of like, this doesn't hold up in any sense.
I don't think it held up when it came out. I remember when it came out and like I was only, what, 16? And I remember being like, I think I'm going to go stick my head in the ocean.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel good. But if it gets you there, it gets you there. I mean, people are into all kinds of shit. Some people eat bran muffins for fun.
Yeah, some people are psychos.
Some people say gif of Jay-Z bobbing his head. We all have different things, you
okay,
know?
I'm not getting into this. We'll go here for 2 hours.
You mean jitting?
I'm not... Yeah, that would be an insane thing if I said jetting.
I'm not jetting into this with you.
Look, if you add a T, it's gift, but it's not gift.
Speak for yourself. It is the season of jiving.
It is the season of jiving.
Hey, everybody. Happy Thanks Jiving.
Don't forget, don't forget in these trying times. Wow, as soon as I started, I was like, oh, a lot of G's to get through. I can't do it.
to jet through.
To jet through.
Don't forget to drink your dravy.
This is like if the internet created their own version of Crips and Bloods, where it's like, you can't say G, you gotta say G.
You mean Grips and Gluds?
Yeah. Oh, they change it with every letter.
Grips and Gluds.
This just sounds like a Dr. Seuss book. The grips and the juds and the blips and the bruds. One fish, glue fish, bread fish, true fish.
I'm sorry, that must be the Texas one. The one I know is Jun fish, Drew fish, glue fish, do fish.
Oh, this is how that one Offspring song starts, right?
Strangely, the same exact drum fills the top of this song.
And the same sort of like the weird falsetto like woman, like, give it to me, baby. Where you're just like, what?
Which I think was actually they caught a tape of a seagull and just used it.
Yeah, you gotta just sample from what you got.
Imagine hearing a seagull open its beak and it makes the exact same sound as that clip from Offspring Pretty Fly for a White
That
Guy.
Would ruin me. I think I'd spend the rest of my life just being like, I have to recreate this sound. I have to like figure out how the seagull made this sound.
A bird walks up to you.
That's their way of saying, give it to me, baby. But they're talking about bread.
Oh, if I ever get into parrot culture, that's the only thing I'm going to train my parrot to say. And it's going to be in response to me saying, give it to me, baby.
I love the sentence, if I ever get into parrot culture. Like, that's a thing you've weighed. You're like, I've been thinking lately, I might get into parrot stuff.
Oh, once you get into birds, do you think like Catwoman is the end of the line? Birdwoman is at least three levels above Catwoman. I think the final frontier is Reptile Woman.
There should be a Bird Woman. I've said it long ago. DC, get on it.
That should have been your punch up to LA Woman.
Bird Woman!
And not to be clear, not like Birdman, the Michael Keaton film, but a woman who's super into birds.
That's right. No powers whatsoever.
Well, I saw a bald eagle about an hour ago.
Gonna fly those parrots.
It's a crow solo.
Look at all those movie stars, they're all so beautiful and clean.
Oh, this
when
line.
The housemates rub the floors, they get the spaces in between.
I think that gave me lip injections. I don't know what just happened. Look at all those movie stars. They're all so beautiful and clean. When the housemaids scrub the floors, they get the spaces in between.
That's just like, you're weirdly shitting on your own housemate. It's like, I have a housemaid, but she sucks.
Also, do we still call them housemaids?
Almost like, definitely
what,
not.
What? That seems fucking weirdly regressive. And also, is this a Dave Matthews Band reference?
How? Why?
The space between.
Oh, is that a Dave Matthews song?
The space. You don't know that song?
No. We had a whole episode about how I somehow met. Oh, a bird.
Okay, I maybe am pitching the bird idea because I'm slowly transforming into a bird, Howl's Moving Castle style. Sorry.
Spoilers for Howl's Moving Castle.
That's the real final frontier of the podcast. I just turn into a bird and fly away.
That'd be cool. You should live stream that when it happens.
Hey guys, check me out on Twitch. I'll be turning into a bird and disappearing into the sunset. 7 p.m. PST. I think he just must have, like, I don't know, smoked some weed I wish I had. There's no connection between first verse and second verse.
He sounds just like he picked up some minor things where he's just sort of like, man, I wish these could change. And he's just forgetting that he has $35 million.
I want to live a life like that. I want to be just like a king. Take my picture by the pool, because I'm the next big king.
Did you hear that little salt shaker that came in? Like the
where?
It was like, take my picture by the boots.
Oh, yeah.
The pool.
That's a man going, speaking parcel tongue. He's like sending out a gentle curse to make this happen for himself.
That's Rick Rubin leaving a voice memo for him that's just like, hey, delete this one. No.
The what's a, it's him trying to think of the young slang to use in the song. He's like, what's a the kids saying these days for piece of crap? Still piece of crap?
What's a?
If I use the word grody in this, is that going to date me?
Yeah.
Did you ever use grody?
No.
You missed the grody boat?
I think I did miss the drody boat, sorry. But I think, I feel like it was the same era as, like, yeah, all of these. I think it was like It Just Missed Me, the same way that Rivers Cuomo did, where it's like
in a fist fight.
Oh, I wish. Oh, because I'm not missing back. I'm gonna tell you what.
Do you know, right before we started taping, and Marissa, I know you are on the line, but you are not allowed to defend yourself here. Marissa was telling me how she's trying to get into a VR punching game, and she's looking to be less afraid of punching people.
That rules. I would love to see Marissa throw hands with someone. Just,
hey, you guys, get on the Patreon. If we can get up to $20 million, we will have Marissa fistfight Rivers Cuomo.
Let's go.
Oh, God.
What's up, Marissa? Sorry, I couldn't hear you. I was busy screaming.
I said, oh my God, meow.
I heard God. I think we meant Jod. Put some respect on the name.
I feel like if Marissa ever punched anyone, I'd just immediately be like, no, they deserved it. I don't know what they did, but they deserved it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you guys are punching up jams. I'm punching up people.
Yeah, she's punching up mans.
You're punching up the jam by just taking out the jam part. Just punch, baby.
Punch.
Hey, everybody. We're looking to make 2021 the year of the punch.
Year of the punch.
And not the drink kind, unless you want a swift drink of this right hook.
You bad, but you better chase it down with this left.
And what about feet? Is that still a punch or technically a kick? And the world doesn't know.
Oh, I thought you were just going, and for all the feet guys out there, I was like, whoa, what? Is this a segment?
What is a kick but a punch of the foot?
That's so true. Wise words.
Honestly, thank you. I'm so glad to have this platform. Why is the music playing? I'm still talking.
Jimmy.
Like a celebrity.
Oh, and then it goes into a solo?
I like the solo.
Is it a mouth or a clavinet?
I think it's a clavinet, but it sounds like it could just be a guy on the
kazoo. That's a guy trying to blow on a blade of grass and failing.
Yeah.
So he just shouts it.
It's also weird to listen to, like, this time around, I was just sort of like, it feels like a very structured solo. It's not like rocking out. It's just like,
it just repeats.
Yeah.
This is clearly designed to be an earworm for a child.
Worked on me.
But weren't you a child when this came out?
I was, yeah.
I like to imagine, did you ever know anyone who, like, couldn't whistle but was too proud to admit it? So they'd be like, they'd purse their lips and be like, woo-woo.
Oh, yeah. Oh, the woo-woos. Yes.
But they pretend it as if it were a whistle. Like, woo-woo. No, that's a little different. They'd be like, what's a cliche? Okay, that's a bird impression. We're getting back onto my turf here. I'd appreciate you stepped off.
A three.
Like, you go to call your dog and you're like, woo hoot.
Oh, yeah. And it's just like, you covering up the mouth doesn't do it. I still know that sound. It's not a whistle.
So it's exactly the same principle. But imagine the cup of hands you do to, like, I think I can,
like,
do
bird
it.
Bird calls.
But instead of actually doing the whistle, you're just going,
exactly, yeah.
That is how they did this solo.
He heard that song from Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. He was like, I got it. And he's like, whoa, whoa. Fuck, okay.
That is such an incredibly good call. That was only made better by me desperately scrambling my brain to go, Good, Bad, and Ugly, Good, Bad, and Ugly. What is that? What is that? What is that? What is that? And then when I found it, going, oh, that is exactly what it sounds like. Congratulations, you got me.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I'm just going to put it in random parts now.
You're well card. I think that's the new way to talk. Honestly, my brain's so mushed. I think that the point of this year is just to see how badly you can speak and still have people understand you.
Yeah. And it should be a game. How long can you do that before someone, like, points it out?
Mentions it?
Yeah.
You want to know my secret? I've been doing it my whole life.
Incredible.
XOXO, Gossip Girl. I forgot about this part.
Yeah.
I don't stand a chance. It's something that you're born into.
Ugh.
And I just don't belong. No, I don't. I'm just a no-class beat-down fool. And I will always be
that way. This is depressing.
I might as well enjoy my life and watch the stars play.
Oh. So, when he had that quote earlier about, like, sitting back and watching the stars play, he was quoting his own song.
Yeah, that's insane.
Okay, are we not going to talk about this, like, white guy rap thing he's doing?
No, I don't. I'm just a no-class beat down. It is very Limp Bizkit light.
And also to call, he says in this song, whack. And he says in this song, he calls himself a fool. I'm just like, are those words you say? Like, do you say that, Rivers Cuomo, in your day-to-day life?
I would believe that he says that to, like, his close friends. And every time he does, he's just sort of like, oh, I'm fucking cool. Like, I just, yeah, whatever. Y'all being fools, man. Everyone's like, ah, Rivers.
Demi, imagine for a second, like, we're catching up on the phone and I'm like, hi, how's it going? And you're like, good, how about you? And I'm like, I don't know, I'm just a no-class beatdown fool.
I'd be like, you're both depressed and stuck in a time warp.
Yeah, it's like Mr. T still on the TV. What is happening?
Yeah, but he's self-pitying. He self-pities the fool. No, I don't. I'm just a no-class beatdown fool.
And there was such a glimmer of hope at the beginning of that, too, because he comments on generational wealth and how the 1% stays the 1%. There's no new 1%. But then he goes right back to being like, I don't belong and I'm going to get rich anyways. Watch me. I'm going to improve my $35 million nest egg.
Oh, I'm just a low-down beat. What? No class beatdown. Low-class beatdown fool. I just.
No class. Oh, he's no claiming class. To be lower than low. He's no class.
I've escaped the system entirely.
The case system, I opted out.
That's
and
right. A. You can't. You'll never know how much money I have, but it's a lot.
And I will always be that way. Hags.
I signed your crack. I feel like this entire song, I don't know, that part I remember as a kid distinctly being like, whoa, this is weirdly, it's like I felt embarrassed. Just a secondhand embarrassment of like, I don't know, this feels like you shouldn't say this in a song. Like, you're not, the truth is, I don't stand a chance. You're already, it feels like if he had described it as a thing where it's like Beverly Hills, like the people who are considered cool versus him who's also rich, I'd be more like, I get it. But it's really just him being like, man, all my things suck. And all their things, you know, 3 feet west of here, they're so cool.
Also, like, if Beverly Hills was remotely cool, Beverly Hills is the most vibeless, like, stuck in the 80s, what, like, you thought was cool to be rich then vibe. Like, right. There's nothing there. That place blows.
I feel like there's no one under the age of 40 in Beverly Hills that loves Beverly Hills. Or if they do, it's just like they are on a different wavelength of everything I could ever think.
You want to know who loves Beverly Hills?
Rivers Cuomo.
Rivers Cuomo. It reminds me of Cake, but worse, which is saying a lot.
Pie.
And also the fact that Rick Rubin produced this and also produced Beastie Boys, who, like, I think, like, perfected, like, white guy rapping, to then be doing this 20 years later. Ouchie.
Rick Rubin's having an off week. I think he walked into the studio, was just sort of like, fine.
Well, like, even just like say it, like, there's one line in the song he sings, and I'm living life like that. And it's like, yeah, that's Weezer.
Yeah.
Who is this? Whom has entered the chat? Because it is not Rivers Cuomo.
This is Ernest Weezer, though. This is like the inner thoughts of all of the people.
The cousin?
Yeah, sorry. This is, yeah, Ernest Weezer. That's right. The third. We always mistake this as a Rivers Cuomo song. And he's like, no, I didn't do that. That was my cousin. That was Ernest Weezer the third.
Ernest takes Weezer.
Oh. I think this song is like, it's all of the people who liked Weezer see this as their innermost thoughts, like from when they were like 16, which is sort of like, man, I'm not cool. I'm not like any of the like cool rich people. I wish that I could have the life like that. And he's 34 still doing that and like not even giving it the sort of sheen that he did on other songs where it's just sort of about like, I think one of the other things I love or hated about Weezer for so long was that they have a very, like, a sensibility to the thing where it's like, I could see myself being like that, but I know you're not supposed to be that person.
A lack of, what's the word? Hubris?
Yeah, there's a lack of hubris or humility.
I was going to say the same thing. There's a real lack of hemorrhoids.
There's a real lack of hemorrhoids.
There's a lack of hemorrhoids. There's a lack of hominy.
Hamina.
I think if they would have had a little more of that energy in this dude, this would have been so much better for it. Like, imagine if just one part of the song was like, I would have been like, oh, okay, we're having fun.
If they got Donnie from the Wild Thornberries in here for one verse. Also, who are the women they they brought in to do a gimme gimme.
Oh, it's a girl from a band, actually.
From the band? No.
No, she's in a different band. She is Stephanie Adel of Agent Sparks.
Oh. I don't know her. The funny part about the guitar or whatever that is in this part is that it starts at the same time that you hear someone go,
wow!
Like, it's definitely a voice. So then it just gets confusing because you hear, wow! And then the guitar that's doing the same sound, you're like, wait, is this all just some guy going, wow, 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 wow?
Probably. I mean, if the darkness taught me anything, it's that sometimes singing a guitar solo is more fun than actually listening to a guitar do it.
That's so true.
Or the Natalie and Bruglia Torn. We all want to sing that part at the very end. Wow, wow, wow.
Oh, yeah. You know? It's like the mouth theremin.
The mouth theremin.
Mm.
That is, interestingly enough, the type of therapy I've been doing.
Mouth theremin?
Mouth theremin is my second cousin on my mom's side.
Oh my God. Did you know that Mouth Theremin and Ernest Weezer dated?
I forgot to go to a little breaky, so let's go to a break now before we listen to what Rob has to say.
All right.
Okay, we're back. Hi. Welcome Hi. To Beverly Hills. That's where I don't want to be ever again because there's no style or anything interesting ever.
Wow, 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 wow.
Have you known that since your departure, I've introduced a new segment on this show where world-renowned musician Robert Jefferson Moose
Bobby
comes
Moose.
On this podcast and does like a musical analysis, like a 3-minute musical analysis of the song at the end of the episode.
I love that. I did not know about that.
So do you know now that you know that I had to make him do that for this song?
Of course. Of course.
I feel like the key to this song is economy. Sure, everything sounds great, but there are tons of rock records that are engineered within an inch of their life. What I admire about this recording is its faith in its own bones. Like, how about that beat? I'm not a drummer, but it's kind of classic rock beat, but with more negative space. A couple kick drum hits, a flam snare, and then this really subtle closing of the hi-hat on the end of 2 and 4. Almost a kind of reflexive reaction to the backbeat itself. Or, like something that's happening in preparation for the next beat, as if the drum set is inhaling. It's not that there are no fills, in fact the song starts with a kind of circusy one. But the core of the beat is something that theoretically anyone could play. That feels essential to me. Also, in the very Weezer sing-along spirit, you've got the hard pan hand claps on 2 and 4, and they definitely sound like a handful of people clapped along to the song one time, because the first one sounds like one or two folks, and then the third one is decidedly earlier than the snare hit. It's a live take, it's dainty, it's true. It's not a hand clap sample, this is 2005. Okay, let's roll with this economy thing. I'm talking about spareness in individual parts, sure, but also about a lack of overlap between parts. Spareness works if each thing really carries its weight, and nothing subtracts from anything else. Here's another example. The muddiness of the rhythm guitar is perfect because it gels nicely with the bass and the kick drum, creating a garage band squad. And its absence on beats 2 and 4 helped to set off the snare drum even more. It takes a breath and our ear is pulled upward from the marshy muck to something bright with a heart attack and immediate decay. So there's a lot of contour to this 2-beat loop. The fourth beat of the fourth bar of the verse feels amazing because a different guitar comes in with a high bend. Moments like this wouldn't really read if everyone in the band were just playing straight through. We all know this chorus. It's so simple, right? But it's almost courageous to have written it and to know that you're done. It's so dumb genius. I gotta go, but my favorite moment of the song is bar 4 of the bridge, where all of a sudden, for the line, "And I just don't belong," they do a goddamn word painting move straight out of 19th century opera and throw us that B natural all of a sudden. It's a subtle stroke of genius, and another band like Smashing Pumpkins would have overused it in every verse, but because this is my fucking term paper and my thesis is about economy, it's all coming together.
I love that he had to get in a dig at Smashing Pumpkins at the end there.
I love three things. 1. Datey and True. Thank you for the new Twitter bio, Rob. 2. GarageBand Squad. Thank you for my next record, Rob. And 3. Marshy Muck. Thank you for
Marshy
my
Muck.
New self-describer.
Marshy Muck. Marshy Muck is your alt ego. That's Birdwoman's by day persona.
Hi, I'm Marshy Muck, and I'm just a journalist. Don't look into it.
The new journalist has wings. What's going on?
I didn't think he was going to have so many positive things to say. I am very impressed.
He did also sort of pull out things where I was just kind of like, that is a part of the song I like. Like the part where he calls it poetic, where it's like the, that, was it a B naturally said? Where it's
operatic, yeah.
I do like that. And it's like, I can feel myself just being like, oh, I like this on a bass level that is just, it's pleasing to my ear. It's not me going, they fucking did he the lyrics of this. Like, he doesn't talk about the lyrics once for good reason.
It's like, you can dog on American cheese and, like, eat your camembert, but sometimes you just want some American cheese.
That's right.
I, at this point in the show, would usually put in my punch-up, because after you left, I started doing them after the fact and then
Smart.
Putting them in based on the discussion. However, for this episode, and especially after Rob's segment, I have a little gift for you. Are you ready?
Yes.
You can't punch this.
My unpunchable jam. It's Beverly Hills by Waves.
Yeah!
Happy birthday, Debbie!
Oh, thank you so much. What a great addition, you know? It can't be punched, can't be fixed. Everyone at home knows. Everyone is like, yeah, I agree. Perfect song. I don't agree with the shit you guys were saying the last hour, but perfect song.
I'm going to get the fuck off my high horse, and I'm going to fucking enjoy this tune boom, boom. In your honor, because seeing you so sincerely like something makes me like it too.
It's fun to like things, especially if you can, you know, edit out the words.
Yeah.
If there was an instrumental version of this, it'd be like, whoa, great song.
Let's the clavinet. It's like, wap, wap, wap. Just do the whole song.
Yeah.
Wap, 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 wap. That is the adults from Charlie, the teachers from Charlie Brown doing their recital. But wait a second. They've really got something. They're going straight to the big leagues.
Hello, Marvin Cuomo. It's your cousin, Marvin Cuomo. I'm fucked it up. We both can't talk. Marvin Cuomo.
I love blowing up the premise of this show.
Yeah,
thank
why
you.
Not?
Hey, what is your unpunchable jam if you have one? Ooh. Honestly, you don't have to have one. I don't care anymore. Anything goes.
I've been listening to a lot of Talking Heads lately, and David Byrne just dropped American Utopia. So I will say he has this song Glass, Concrete, and Stone from his live album of American Utopia. And that's great.
Mwah. Looking at happiness, keeping my flavor fresh. Nobody knows, I guess, how far I'll go. I know, so I'm leaving at 6 o'clock, meeting a parking lot, having it in the shot, sunglasses on. She waits by this glass and concrete stone.
I love when you reference things. You have such good taste.
Oh, thank you. I listen to one album a year, and this one is a compilation of older songs.
Well, that's the best one,
yeah.
Because then you're getting a little taste of what you might have missed when you were busy blasting Beverly Hills on the internet, looking at forums and painting yourself green.
All things that I did do and have unfortunately admitted to on this podcast.
Demi, is there anything that you want to share, promote, say? The floor is yours, but when I don't like it, I'm going to make a buzzer noise.
Okay, guys, it's so important that you vote. Oh, fine. Don't vote, I guess.
Try again. We are anti-voting on this podcast.
That's true. That's fair. Nothing, really. Watch the Amber Ruffin show on Peacock, and that's it.
I was so excited to hear your name pronounced on that show correctly.
It's very sweet. My mom got very excited about it.
I'm gonna try to get into this, because that was really hard to do. Demi! It's fucking Demi, my guy. He is on this episode. I'm gonna say his name.
Here we go.
Demi. How did you we be? Hey, I said Demi. I got one. How did you we be? Hey, I got two.
Why are you adding the hey?
Because it's not enough syllables. What would Demi, you do?
I did you. We bet. Oh, you're right. Fuck.
Try it. It's hard. Demi, look, you try it.
La day I do jo wee bit.
This is your shot. Do not miss your chance to blow. You've okay. got one opportunity.
Right, here we go.
Once in a lifetime. Mm. Here we go, Demi. Go fuck it up. No pressure.
A did you wee bit. Yes, if Demi's his name, a did you wee bit. You got to start with the first, a did you wee bit. And then you go to the last, a did you wee bit. That's Demi.
And that's why he gets paid to write on the Amber Ruffin Show, folks.
For that exact content.
Hey, thank you so much for coming back. This was really fun.
Of course. I love you. I was very happy to come back.
I love you, too. It's so fun to do this again. Yeah. The boys are back in town. That should have been what we did.
Again, we keep thinking of songs we should have done.
Hey, maybe, you know what? Next time we're just in real life, we don't tape it and we just do this.
So true. Friendship is the untaped podcast of life.
Hey, that's the best way this show could go out. Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Okay, that was
Touch the Jam.
Touch
the Jam.
Hey.
Touch
the Jam.
Touch
the Jam.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.